Let's pray. Father, I do pray that you would open our eyes this morning, that we would see Jesus. Lord, you know each person here, you know each heart, you know each concern, you know the circumstances. Lord, we're not here because we're good people. We're here because you are a gracious and loving God who has reached out first to us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. So, Father, you've reached out to us in love and mercy. You call us then to place our trust, our faith, our confidence in you, in Jesus, what he's done for us, to walk with you humbly and by faith, obediently carrying out the purposes that you have for our life. Father, you've called us together. You've put us together into this one body, the body of Christ. We as a church, as a local congregation, are only one part of a countless throng of men and women and young people throughout the ages who profess Jesus Christ, put their trust in him. You've put us together, Lord, into this one body in order that we might encourage and serve, but in order then too that we might proclaim that good news to all the world. Father, speak to us here today. May we hear what your Spirit tells us, and may we listen with faith. May we then hear and act with obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning a new series this morning. It's a five-part series on biblical fellowship, and starting off by looking at that passage in 1 Corinthians 12, which tells us that though the body is many parts, it is one unit. Just as the human body has many different parts, it's only one body, isn't it? And in the same way, just as the church are many individual members or persons, it is only one unit, one body, the body of Jesus Christ. You may wonder, who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Well, the fact is that God has sovereignly placed each member of the body of Christ into that body in order to fulfill his purposes in the world, his great redemptive purposes of the world. And all these many members, you, come together for one purpose, and that is to be a part of what God is doing in the world to redeem his fallen creation. One of the things we want to look at then today here in this series is this whole notion of fellowship. How many of you have heard the word fellowship, oh, once or twice in your life? Raise your hand, okay. There's one of those words we've probably heard. It's like, but that's kind of one of those churchy kind of words that sometimes just doesn't mean as much to us as it really should. Sometimes we use that word fellowship. It means like, oh, that means that we're having a potluck dinner, you know, in the family center. And we often use it that we'll call it the fellowship hall. And I'm afraid that too often, sometimes even for devoted followers of Christ, fellowship then gets reduced down to this thing where it is simply having a meal together. But is that really biblical fellowship? Is that what the Bible means when it talks about how we are in fellowship with one another? And so I thought it would be important for us to start off this new year looking at this. Why, as you know, we'll be having that church vision meeting next week, that update meeting there. And one of the elements of that church vision, you might recall, is that recommitment to Christ-like character and behavior. Not to go to church, but to be the church. Church isn't a place that we go to, is it? You are the church. We are the church. Don't go to church, be the church. And a key element of being the church, then, is engaging in biblical fellowship. So as part of that initiative, then, to going forward for the church here, I thought it would be important for us, then, to just reflect on and think about and seek the Lord's guidance in how can I better fellowship with other believers this year in this, his church. One of the key ways to better understand what fellowship is looking in the scriptures at those, what we call these one another passages. many, many instances in the scripture where it tells us to do certain things with one another, for one another. I did a little study on those one another passages and managed to identify about 25 separate one another concepts in the scriptures for what fellowship is. One another, that life together there. You'll be glad to know we're not doing a 25-part series, though, on that. We're doing a 5-part series on it. And today, then, is better understanding fellowship, what it is biblically, and then embracing the reality of our unity in Christ. So what is to come? Well, of those 25 one another's, I isolated 4 of those that are very important that we're going to focus on in the next 4 weeks. Love one another. Forgive one another. Serve one another. And encourage one another. Love, forgive, serve, encourage. Now some of you, I said that forgive. It's like, oh no, is he talking about forgiveness again? Yes, he is. So love, forgive, serve, encourage one another. Have your Bibles, would you turn then to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 12 through 27. Now, here in the context here, Paul is discussing this matter of spiritual gifts in the church. As you know, Corinth was a messed up church, that poster church of dysfunctional churches, all kinds of problems there. And Paul had dealt with a number of these issues beforehand, and now he comes to this problem there where they didn't really seem to understand the purposes for the spiritual gifts and abilities that God had given them, what it was for, that they were to be using them to serve one another, to build the body up in love. Instead, their gifts were something, some of them were denying their gifts, weren't using them at all. Others then who had the more flashy or showy public kind of gifts were very proud of that. They didn't understand what it was about. So he's dealing with this issue of spiritual gifts and why God has given us all certain abilities to be used in service. And he wants to talk then about what should be our attitude then toward one another. Here's what he says then, starting in verse 12. The body is a unit. He's talking about the human body here. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There's that mystery word again, fellowship. What is fellowship? We use it all the time, usually when we're going to have a meal together. But it's a lot more than that, isn't it? The Bible has a lot more to say about fellowship, what biblical fellowship is. Before we go any further, a reminder then, too, that we have summary notes of the sermon, of the main points on the counter. Today is one of those text-heavy kind of messages. Don't feel like you got to sit through just some quotes and all that kind of stuff. I know that can get a little frustrating sometimes. So don't worry about trying to get everything. If you miss something, there are copies on the library counter then. So fellowship. Well, if we look at that original language of the New Testament, that Greek, we see the word koinonia. The Bible talks about fellowship, says koinonia. What is koinonia? Well, it literally means life together, or life in common, common life. Basically what? We're in this together. We're in this all together. We're in the same boat. Koinonia, we share this life in Christ together. We have an interest in and a need for one another. Common purpose, common identity. It is common life, life together. Saw some quotes that I thought put some further light on fellowship then. They get at the heart of what the Bible's talking about when it says we're to have fellowship, or we have fellowship with one another. First one is this quote here. John Loftus, he says, spiritual fellowship in the New Testament is participating together in the life made possible by the Spirit through our union with Christ. It is sharing something in common on the deepest level of human relationship, our experience of God Himself. So it's a common life together by the Spirit, drawn together by our faith in Christ, and we then are experiencing God together. No one has fully experienced God, have they? And not a single one of us here has had a full experience of God. But each of us have had various experiences guided by the Word of God and what it means to know God. And fellowship then is coming together and sharing that experience with one another. You see that fellowship is, first of all, it's a reality. It's not a theoretical concept. It is a reality. It is true right now. That it is by the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God has baptized or put us together into this body of Christ. It's through the Spirit of God. It is in the Spirit of God. We are put together by the Spirit, and we remain united by the Spirit who indwells all believers. And it's a sharing of our common life in Christ, a sharing of our experience of God Himself. This other quote I liked then was this one. It said that spiritual fellowship with one another on any level, family, small group, or one-on-one, involves commitment, honesty, openness, and integrity. And wherever these virtues are present, the saints enter into deep and satisfying relationships that promote their spiritual growth. So we see a need there for us to take an active role in this with our attitude about it, having an attitude of honesty, openness, commitment, integrity. If we're not committed to one another, if we're not open with one another, if we're not honest with one another, we're not engaging in true biblical fellowship. But when we are, that's when the Spirit of God works. And through that, then, we have fellowship, and we enter into relationships that promote spiritual growth. Fellowship is all about spiritual growth. Biblical fellowship, there is a focus on spiritual growth. And then finally, then this, from J.I. Packer, he says, fellowship is, first, a sharing with our fellow believers the things that God has made known to us about Himself, in hope that we may thus help them to know Him better and so enrich their fellowship with Him. Fellowship is, secondly, a means of finding strength, refreshment, and instruction for one's own soul. So through better knowing God, through one another, we find strength, refreshment, and instruction for our souls. So that's fine and well and good to go into the family center and have that meal together. But ultimately what it's about sharing our common experience as members of the body of Christ in order that we might be built up, strengthened, encouraged, refreshed through sharing our lives together, sharing our understanding and our experience of God through His Word together. Not a single one of us here has the full and complete picture, do we? So we need one another. From the scripture passage that we've just read there, I think there are a number of principles or truths that we might draw from this to help us better understand biblical fellowship. First one there comes right there from verse 12. The body's a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. Just as the human body has many different parts of it, you only have one body, you don't have two. In the same way, there's only one church. There are many different local congregations, local fellowships, but there's only one church. There are many individuals, but we are united as one body. Now, probably some of you are saying, yeah, I know, I've heard this 1,000 times before. But you know, sometimes we need to keep going back to those basic truths. And I'd ask you to think about that, reflect on that for just a moment. What does this mean to you? Does it just say, yeah, I know, but many parts, one body, I get it. But what does this mean when you're in conflict with someone else in the church? What does this mean when you find someone else, and I know this never happens here, okay, but maybe you find someone's personality just kind of rubs you the wrong way. Has that ever happened to you, or is it just me? But I know I never rub anyone the wrong way, but some of you do, I know, so... Now, I just rubbed some of you the wrong way by saying that there, but seriously, do you think about that when they're in conflict or someone just bothers you, annoys you? We are united as one body. This isn't a theoretical concept. It's a reality. We're family. We're one. For some of us, when I say we're family, that conjures up good things in your mind and your heart. For some of us, though, we say we're family, maybe that conjures up some negative things or hurtful things. But family, the way God intends family, is what we are. So when I say we're family, think about that in terms of what God intends for the family to be. And that's what we are as the church. Many individuals, but we are united, not theoretically, conceptually, in reality, actually right now, right here, in Wonder Lake Bible Church. We are one body. We are family. Another truth or principle that we learn from this is that of the role of the Holy Spirit of God in this. The scripture says, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the church, and He continues to unite us. It is the Holy Spirit who has spiritually put us together into this one body. Scripture says that when you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, you are baptized in the Spirit, which means that you are sealed, set apart, identified, you are marked as a child of God, and placed into His family. So it means to be baptized by the Spirit. It means to be set apart by God, placed into His family, recognized, identified forever as one of His own. That's how you came into this family, this body, by faith in Christ, and the Spirit baptized you. He put you into this family. And it is the Spirit who then continues to unite us, who keeps us united, who keeps us together in this one body, this one family. And the only way that real biblical unity is possible is through the Holy Spirit, who indwells believers, who works in us. You know, whenever there's a lot of problems and conflicts in a church, I guarantee you that somewhere along the line, there was a rupture or a problem in that person's walking in the Spirit, wasn't there? Do people who are walking in the Spirit, that is walking in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, submitting to Him, obeying Him, somewhere along the line, something's happened there, and there is no longer, someone isn't walking in the Spirit. Someone isn't filled by the Spirit. Because when we are, that unity that already exists, that unity of relationship is maintained then too. Here's another thing, the truth that comes out of that passage is this. That denial or failure to recognize your membership in the church does not make you any less a part of the church. Now let me clarify something here. When I say membership in the church, I'm not talking about what we did earlier this morning where people came up and received their certificates. You know, where you're a member, it means, oh, I can vote in congregational meetings. I don't mean that kind of membership. I mean that membership that everyone is a member of the church, that is, who by faith in Jesus Christ has put their trust, their confidence in Him for forgiveness of sin, received eternal life through Him. You are a member of the church then. Christ's universal, invisible, eternal church. And while you may fail to recognize that or even deny that membership and how we live, it doesn't make you any less a part of that church. The family member who strays is still a part of the family. You know, you can take a part of the human body, and what would happen to this hand right here if we were to just cut off this hand? What would happen to that hand? It would die, wouldn't it? When we cut ourselves off from the church, what happens to us? We die. Each one of us is a vital, important, you are a vital, important part of the body. Get separated or removed from the body, the process of death begins. Well, I don't think I'm very important. What part? I don't even know what part I play in the church. Well, you know what? You do have a part, and it's crucial. Whatever your role, you do play a vital part in the functioning of a healthy church. You do play a vital part in the functioning of a healthy church. There are some gifts and abilities that God has given that are upfront and obvious and public. And then there are other things that are more quiet and behind the scenes. But the fact is whatever the role, whatever that function or part, every single person, every single role is vitally important. I've talked with some folks that just feel, you know, like, well, I'm just not that important. I don't do anything. And I say, oh, really? How about praying? Are you praying for the church? Are you praying for the leadership in the church? Well, yeah. Do you know how important that is? Not to mention all kinds of other things people do that, and they don't even realize it sometimes how important that is. Every person is valuable, important in the family of God and plays a vital part in the functioning of a healthy church. If we're going to continue to grow and become a more and more healthy biblical church, part of that means that everyone is using their gifts and their abilities. Everyone is contributing in that. So part of where we're going forward as a church is I want there's going to be more regular opportunities for people to, you know, I think most of you know your role, your gifts and abilities, but some don't. I'm going to give that opportunity on a more regular basis to explore that. I've already tapped a few of you, and you know who you are, And some of you are coming up next on the list here, for there are jobs for you. And everyone is important in the functioning of a healthy church. Scripture then says this too, that God has sovereignly placed you in the church just as he wills. Do you believe that? Text says it right there. Do you believe that? That God, in his eternal sovereign knowledge, has placed you exactly where he wants you to be. So don't tell me that you're not important or you don't matter, because you do. And God has sovereignly placed you here. But I would remind you of something else. Take a look at the person next to you, in front of you, behind you. God has sovereignly placed that person here too. That person that you don't like isn't an obstacle for you to deal with. That person is someone whom God loves, for whom Jesus died, and who's been placed by faith sovereignly right here for you to love and serve. If you see people as obstacles instead of people to love and serve, we're denying the wisdom of God and the sovereign power of God. God has sovereignly placed you in the church, and the guy next to you, and the person in front of you and behind you, the people you like and get along with real well, and maybe the people you struggle with, all the same. And guess what? You and I need one another. We all need. Everyone in the church needs everyone else. The church is going to be a healthy, functioning church in the way that God calls us to. It means that everyone is involved in that, contributing their gifts, their abilities. But then also each person recognizing the fact that they do need. Have you ever wondered about maybe that person that is been hard for you to deal with or get along with sometimes? Have you ever thought that maybe that person is a gift of God to you? Oh, no, I don't want to think about that. Why? Because, you know what? Maybe you learned patience through that person. You learned forgiveness through that person. You learned love through that person. You learned service through that person. Maybe God deliberately, sovereignly placed that difficult person in your life. And I know you're all thinking about who that difficult person is, but you might be the difficult person for someone else too. We all need one another. In fact, the scripture even tells us there, you know what? Some people need some special care and consideration. So it says, you know what, those people who have more public gifts, they don't need any special recognition or present. They get that. You know who needs special care and consideration? Those weaker members. Some of us are stronger than others, aren't we? We all need one another, and we need to come alongside those maybe who don't receive the honor or the acclaim that some of the others do, and give them special care and special consideration. God desires unity and mutuality in his church. It is the will of God. We are united, in fact, by the Spirit. But living in that unity, it can be another matter, isn't it? The getting down to the nitty-gritty of everyday relationships. That's another matter, isn't it? God commands it that we maintain that unity relationally. And he calls us to mutuality. What do I mean by mutuality? Well, that mutual concern and care for one another. When one of us suffers, we all suffer. When one of us is rejoicing, we all rejoice. We have equal care and concern for one another. We don't play favorites in the church. Everyone is important. Everyone is to be loved and cared for. Equal concern. And so God says that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is biblical fellowship. This is life together. Unity and mutuality. Finally, then, this one. Church is not a social club. It's not a gathering of people that are friends or people that, oh yeah, we see each other on Sunday mornings, we get together occasionally, do things. It's not a social club. It's the body of Christ. Why has God put us here together? So that we can come here and enjoy one another and do our thing on Sunday mornings or whenever? No, it's to be the church, to be the body of Christ, which means what? To be the eyes and the hands of Jesus in the world. To proclaim the good news of God's love and forgiveness through Christ. To serve. To be a part of what God is doing in the world. You and I don't save anyone. God does it through His Spirit. But God uses you and me to be an instrument of His redeeming purposes. So we're not a social club. We're not here for our own benefit only. We're here to be the body of Christ, to participate with God in redeeming His fallen creation. That's our purpose. Been a lot of talk about purpose over the last few years here, hasn't there? The purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church. Well, Scripture does have a lot to say about purpose, doesn't it? The purpose for His people gathered together as His church is to participate with Him in redeeming His fallen world, healing broken lives. That's why we're here. Not just to enjoy our club, but to be the body of Christ. So then, do you see yourself as a member of something much bigger than yourself? Christ's church. I think there's a fundamental need that human beings have is to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Well, is there anything bigger than Christ's church? There isn't. There isn't anything more important than that. You are part of something much bigger than yourself, Christ's church, cooperating with God and redeeming a fallen world. Do you see yourself as a vital part of Christ's church, whatever your role, your function? Are you fulfilling God's purpose for you in the church? Many of you are. Others aren't sure. Stay tuned. Finally, then, are you living in unity and with mutual concern for others in the church? This is what God has called us to. Biblical fellowship, it is life together, united by the Spirit. That common faith in Christ, fulfilling God's purposes in the world. Sharing our experience of God, our understanding, our knowledge of God. Sharing the Word of God. Sharing His truth. Encouraging, building up one another. That is biblical fellowship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this precious privilege we have to gather together as your people. Again, not because we're good people, but because we are forgiven people. Here, because you first loved us. You reached out to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in Him, Lord, forgiveness for sin and the hope of eternal life. What a wonderful thing. We give you thanks and praise for that. Father, I pray that now you would help us, Lord, to honor you by how we live, by how we come together how we fellowship with one another, Lord. May it be biblical, healthy, honoring to you. Thank you for the wonderful things that you've done through the ministries of this church in years past. But Lord, we look forward to now to what's coming up. And ask then, Lord, that all that we do here would just bring great joy to your heart. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to forgive one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.